you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everybody. I'm Sharon Lecter, and welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm pretty excited today because today my guest is somebody that I just met a couple of years ago, and we both are huge fans of Napoleon Hill. And John Shin, thank you so much for being with me today. Welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here, fired up and pumped up.
Well, we met through one of the original Think and Grow Rich movies that we did, Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy. And John was played a big part in making that happen. And I was in that, we were both in the movie. But we were so aligned in our messaging and our support of the Think and Grow Rich movement. And since then, John has been given the opportunity and is the author of a new book called Think and Grow Rich and Asian Choice. So I'm very, very excited about that. Yes, I think it's going to be fantastic.
And thank you.
When do you think you'll have that done, John?
You know, I wanted to have it done by November. So we'll have it ready by November in the fall.
Good for you. Good. Well, when he's not writing a book for the Napoleon Hill Foundation, he's the CEO and founder of Axianta Financial Partners, and he's been featured in Forbes magazine and Forbes special edition, but he is a huge proponent of self-improvement. In fact, before we got on the recording, he was talking about that as part of his group, all of his employees read Think and Grow Rich. So, John, start off, but share a little bit more of John Shin that's not in the intro that I just did. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
Well, let's see, just a little bit about me. I guess my parents are immigrants from Korea, so I am of Asian descent, and it's hard to tell these days, so I had to throw that in there, Sharon, you know? So mom and dad are the traditional Asian parents that, you know, so many people probably go through that immigrant mentality, which is go to college, get a degree, and become a doctor or a lawyer. And that's basically what I had to do. And I didn't go to medical school. I just can't deal with the sight of blood. And long story short, I ended up going to law school, graduated, ended up in Orange County in the DA's office. And it just wasn't for me. You know, just did not love it. And it was a paycheck, and but I met my wife there. You know, you always wonder, like, why certain things happen to you. And it may not be what you expected, but that's where I met my wife. And so together we met, and then we started to write down. And our mentor actually gave us a book called Think and Grow Rich. And we started to read it. And in the original version, if you look at page 36, or turning, you know, desires into gold, we literally did that. And we applied the principles there, each step by step, you know, plan to action. And so we took our company from just a small little mom and pop operation. And now we are operating in 42 states. Now we've got a couple hundred offices and couple up in Canada, and still growing, you know, and still growing. So, yeah, that's where we're at. And we've got, you know, other businesses that we've got into some real estate and stuff like that. But I mean, right now we're just absolutely thrilled to be a part of the Think and Grow Rich and the Napoleon Hill Foundation and be associated with people like you and Don Green, you know?
Well, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of the people that work with you, and, it's like you have a giant family. It's not just employees. And I love that too, because I talk about, I don't really like the word employees. I like my team, you know, my team, and we work together. We don't work for each other. We work as a team and work together.
So true. Yeah.
And I think that respect and that growth is incredible. So as you expanded your company, What were your thoughts? I mean, when we talk about the Play Big movement, when I say Play Big, what comes to your mind as far as the goal to expand your company?
You know, it's such a good question. For me, playing big was, well, first of all, we had to fulfill all our bare necessities, right? So Arlene and I, my wife, we had probably $500,000 in student loan debt. So with her, her postgraduate, my postgraduate, you know, we're $500,000 in debt. And initially it was just being debt free. Then once we fulfilled that, we're like, okay, well, let's go buy a house. Let's all the bare necessities, things that I think most people want in life. And then once we got there, we kind of went, wow, now what? You know, we want more. That wasn't like where we said, okay, we're going to have A, B, C, D. We got it. And now we're retiring, you know, prior to age 30. We said, what's more? And we, you know, I caution people to be real careful with what their end zone is, right? What their end zone is, because you're not really there. You know what I mean? And you don't stop. I mean, your whole life, if you're a kid and a child and you fall down 50 times, you know, you get back up and you don't say, you know, maybe walking isn't for me, right? Or then you eventually graduate from elementary school. Then you graduate from high school and college and so forth. But you're constantly wanting to promote and be the best version of you. And so when we first got our second, third, fourth, fifth offices, we're like, well, if we can do 5, let's get 10. If we can get 10, let's do 20. You know, and then we just continue to grow. And now we never ever thought we would be at 200, but we always, one thing, Sharon, is we always wanted to be, we're always uncomfortable, right? We never wanted to say, okay, we're here. We finally arrived. What is the best version of us? And once we get there, like, we could do more, you know? And so that, I think, is playing big, is just, you know, if you're going to play big, though, you got to have some money to play big too, right? So we had to build a nice portfolio of money so we can start playing big and do the things that we did, like the movie and the book and all the other things that we're going to be doing. So
I want everybody that's watching and listening to rewind that and listen. He says that you have to be uncomfortable. I think you've heard that from me a few times about stepping outside your comfort zone. That's how you grow and how you expand your network. So, but you know, going from that first office now to hundreds, or was there had to have been a time when it was like, okay, I can't get past this point. There's a stopping block. Tell us about that point in time when maybe it was like, okay, we're big enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we never felt we were big enough. We one thing I told everybody is we had standards where we told everybody, hey, this is where we're at, but this is not where we can be, right? I think if we all worked a little bit harder, look what we're able to do. And once we finally hit that one milestone, I said, look what happens when we make a decision to flex our muscles and what we're capable of doing. You know, one of the greatest interviews I did was with a lady named Jessica. And what blew me away about Jessica is she was actually born with no arms, right? And so here she has no arms, yet she's a 2-3-time national taekwondo champion. She's the first woman ever, not even a woman, first person in the world to actually fly, get a license to fly a plane without no arms. Wow. And what blew me, yeah, I mean, it just blew me away. And when I was actually interviewing her, she said, can I get a soda? And, you know, I'm always, hey, go get her a soda. So they brought her a soda. And the guy who brought her a soda actually took the soda, put it in front of her on the table, and didn't even open it up for her. And my inside voice went, you jerk. Like, how could you not even open up a can of Coke for someone who has no arms? And I leaned over and I said, Jessica, let me get that for you. And so as I popped the glass, as I was about to grab it and pop it back, she says, I got it. She says, I'll open it. And I thought to myself, she's going to open a can of Coke and she's got no arms? Like, how is she going to do this? And she sat back on her chair and she, all of a sudden, I see her leg come out from underneath the table. And then the other leg comes out and she reaches over, gets the can of Coke, and she pops it open with her toe. And she took her foot underneath the little lip underneath the can of Coke. There's a little area where you can put your feet underneath there. She takes it and she drinks it as if we were to grab a bottle of water or a glass of water or something. She did it that quickly. And it was like she did it just, it was so seamless, so easy. And I said, God, if she can do that. I said, so I came home that night, Sharon, and I sat in my chair. I put a can of Coke in front of me at the dining table. And I began to take my foot out from underneath the table. And I tried to, you know, do the things that she was doing. And all of a sudden, guess what? My lower back started cramping up. I was screaming. My wife and my kids came in and said, "Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why is your feet up on the table?" I said, "Oh my God, just help me get my leg off the table." And they did. My lower back was cramping. And what I had discovered at that point is that we all have the same muscles. The difference between Jessica and I is that she's learned to exercise those muscles her whole life. And I didn't even know I had those muscles. And most people have the roots, the ingredients to be successful. And what does successful mean? It's whatever they want it to be, right? Because, I mean, success is relative, right? The more success you have, the more relatives you have. You ever notice that, right? And so, yeah, it's what is it that you want? And you can have whatever you want if you exercise those muscles. And those muscles that you have to exercise are right up here. Right up in here in the six inches.
I couldn't agree with you more. We're all born perfect, perfect in an imperfect world, and we have every opportunity is available to us. It's just a matter of choosing what we want and stepping outside the comfort zone and learning how to use what we have, our God-given talents, to create and serve others. You know, as part of what I see, you know, a lot of people who create success, I have this term that money just brings out more of who you really are. As you create success in your life, you have the opportunity to either be more greedy or more giving. And when we talk about creating to that level of success, the way you get to significance is by giving back and literally living the legacy. That's part of the branding that we have is, you know, a lot of people think about what, you know, how they're going to be remembered when they're gone. I said, well, let's let people see you that now. See that window in your soul as to how you want to touch people and how people to remember you and living that legacy. And and there's definitely something that you're doing, John, because so many people look up to you and respect you and you're creating such an opportunity for others, both in the service that you provide through your company, but also through the team that you have. And so there's probably a philosophy or two that you have related to your team. You want to share a few of those things with us?
You know, one of the things that I want to add to what you were just talking about in your lifetime and the playing big movement is there was a great poem I actually heard, and I don't have that poem, but it was talking about the dash. You ever heard of that poem, The Dash? Mm-hmm. It talks about the dash from the day you're born to the day you die. What does that dash represent? You know, all the things that you've done in your life. And when your eulogy is being said, is everything that they say in your eulogy going to be truthful? Right? Is it, you know, because I actually went to a funeral one time and there was multiple funerals going in, and I realized pretty quickly I was at the wrong funeral, because the funeral I went into, they were talking about this incredible person and the things that person did. And I was thinking to myself, I think I'm at the wrong funeral, you know? And so I started to look at the program to make sure I was at the right place. And I was at the right place, but probably 90% of the stuff they were saying in the eulogy wasn't really even what that person did or what they represented. And I think it's so important, as you said, is giving back, you know, knowing what is your legacy? What did you do in your lifetime? How much did you serve? And, you know, I even have a hard time accepting gifts, you know, I mean, during Christmas and holidays, I don't know what it is. I think I just got to learn how to accept gifts better. I love buying presents for everybody, and I love people opening up and seeing the joy and the happiness in their face. But for some reason, I just don't know how to accept those gifts as much as I like to give, you know? But anyway, going back to that question that you were just talking about in terms of, you know, some of the philosophies and things that we do. First of all, I always tell everyone that we don't stay bitter. Don't ever stay bitter in your life, but get better in life and do things that will help you improve your skills. You know, there's a lot of things that you can learn, you know, but if you really want to learn something, the best way to do it is to do it repetitiously. So whatever you do, you just got to do it over and over and over. If you want to be a great pianist, then what do you got to do? You got to practice every single day. If you want to be a great golfer, I mean, you can't really learn golf by reading a book, right? But you can be aware of it by reading it out of a book, but then you got to go and practice it over and over and over so you really get good. So I think everything comes down to repetition. And so some people say, well, I'm not good in sales. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, everybody can learn how to sell. It's just that somehow or another, somebody ingrained in your head that you're not good at sales and salespeople are bad, but they're not. I mean, everybody's in sales. The difference between a good doctor and a successful doctor and someone who's not is I think the successful doctor learned how to develop their sales skills. So I tell everybody, get better at your skills and do it every day repetitiously.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think it's good note-taking time, everybody, because, you know, we're talking about repetition and practice, and we've heard all different kinds of phrases of that. Do something 10,000 times, or it takes 3 weeks to have a habit. I say it usually takes me 2 years to establish a new habit.
But there you go.
And it's through that repetition and practice, and it is. A lot of people say, you know, they're not good at sales. Well, that's just because sales is service, and if you are servicing people well, the sales will come. The issue is understanding and practicing and learning that it's okay to have a no. How many no's does it take to get to the yes? And it's something that I know, I've been there. I don't like selling per se, but when I change my thought process and say, okay, I'm not really selling, I want to serve. I think I have something that can help people improve their lives, and who am I to keep it from them? And so I can service them and provide them their opportunity. So as it relates to that, share with our listeners and our viewers a little bit more about your company, Oxianta Financial Partners, and what you do and how people can find you.
Well, we're a full service financial service company. And basically what we do is we show people how to get out of debt. And that's one of the most important things. I think, having debt is financial cancer. And you got to get rid of that debt. I mean, there is good debt and there's bad debt. And I'm talking about bad debt and getting out of bad debt. And don't get caught up in spending, like trying to be like everybody else, And because he's got a Mercedes, you got to have a Mercedes. And because he's got a Rolls Royce, and you got to get a Rolls Royce. And it just blows my mind how many people go and spend money on things that depreciate versus things that appreciate, and then wonder why they're constantly broke. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I know some people think it's cool, but you know what? I think it's cooler if you've got $1 million in savings that you have access to than having, a depreciating asset. So we want to show people and get them to understand how important it is to get out of debt and then take that money and start saving the money. Save your money. And you don't have to save money for a rainy day. Again, that's like another programming that someone's heard, save your money for a rainy day. Well, why do you have to save your money for a rainy day? Why can't it be for a beautiful wedding? Why can't it be for a beautiful vacation? Why can't it be for, a house that you want to buy, or maybe a building where you're getting some income, and having some passive income? So no, save your money for the future, and think about what you're, one thing my mentor always said to me, he goes, whatever you want to buy, if you want to buy it, don't be an emotional, impulsive buyer. When you make that decision, you want to buy something, wait 6 months, and then if you still want it that time, then you may want to consider it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with that more. Even when so many of us are subject to being impulse shoppers, see something and you want to buy it, I say just practice my 2 minute rule. 2 minute, walk away from it for a couple of minutes, and after 2 minutes, when you get past the emotional part, more often than not, you're not going to go back and buy it. But I love what you just said, because I couldn't agree more. Obviously, in being the financial educator than I am, one of the things that we're just going to be launching, John, in the next couple of weeks is, of course, the Play Big Movement course. But I've got it divided into two parts. And the first part is getting from financially broken to that break even. Like you said, you and your wife, you had all that debt you need to get through, and people that are in a lot of bad debt. And you really have to focus on the expenses and the income to get to that point where you're break even. But then to go from break even to financially free or plain is the play big portion of what I teach. And that's when you stop focusing on income and expense. You start focusing on assets, assets that generate income. And, every wealthy person in the world has something in common. They have assets, and those assets generate the income for them. And so it's
right.
A mindset change as well as an action step change between getting out of deep financial stress to the point where then you can start focusing on building generational wealth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. All set.
So if somebody wants to find you, how can they find you, John?
Well, they can go to my website at www.johncshin.com. I'm also on Instagram. Let's see, what is my Instagram? It's John Shin Official. And that's my Instagram. I mean, I do have Facebook and Twitter, but it seems like most people today are using Instagram. So that's the platform that I'm on now as well. So I'm on Instagram. And that's that. And then if you actually just put in your information, you can always reach me there. So
wonderful, wonderful. Well, as we wrap up this one, we're going to invite John to come a little bit more personal level and talk about some of his habits, personal habits, for our private Facebook group, Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. So if you have not joined, please go ahead and become part of that private Facebook group where we get up a little closer and more personal with the individuals that we interview. But thank you so much, John, for being with us today. And for all of you, please make sure you register and sign up in iTunes and share this with your network, because John has given us tremendous wisdom. So John, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Sharon. I'm honored. And thanks for all you do. I love your book. By the way, I want to add one thing.
Okay.
I know you wrote the book, Think and Grow Rich for Women. I had to read it. I mean, I know it's for women, but you know what? Honestly, I think that book should not be just for women. It should be for men and women. You know what I mean? It was so good. It was one of your best books, and Outwitting the Devil is off the scale. Both those books are seriously off the scale. And thank you for just writing those two books and sharing, you know? You're amazing, Sharon. We love you.
Thank you, John. And I do. I mean, I have a lot of men who say, I understand my wife so much better after reading Think and Grow Rich for Women. So yeah, it was a real pleasure. And I know you're going to have a fun time with the Asian Choice as well. So I'm excited about when that comes out, and we will keep everybody posted. Thanks so much, John. And hold on for a second. We're going to start another recording. So everybody else, thank you so much for listening to this. Go to SharonLecter.com/podcast and share it with your friends. Have a fantastic and blessed day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.